50 years ago, the phrase Summer of Love was first used in a San Francisco Chronicle article to describe the amazing happenings in the Haight-Ashbury district of that city, which was drawing tens of thousands of mostly young people eager to experiment with a new countercultural vision of life and society. As part of this, half a century ago, this very weekend, June 10th and 11th, 1967, tens of thousands of music fans participated in the first rock festival in American history. The Monterey International Pop Festival is often said to be the first, but in fact, just north of San Francisco, on Mount Tamalpais in Marin County, the KFRC Fantasy Fair and Magic Mountain Music Festival preceded Monterey by 1 week. That's not the Magic Mountain with the roller coasters. That's the real Magic Mountain of Mount Tamalpais, if you've ever been there. Backed by AM radio station KFRC, the festival featured the Doors, Jefferson Airplane, the Byrds, and other bands that were rising fast in California and, as we know, far beyond. Today, historians and other cultural observers agree that the cultural and political legacy of the 1960s is symbolized by the Summer of Love has profoundly influenced music and the arts, social and political activism, sexuality and gender roles, and much, much more. So today I want to share a few thoughts on that legacy because it's an important one. And being a minister, I'm going to put them into a spiritual context. Does that sound all right?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. So going back to more recent history, like 2 months ago, in my March newsletter article and very briefly in a talk that month, I shared how spiritual theologian Matthew Fox speaks of the vital balance between being a mystic and being a prophet. Now, what does he mean by these terms? Well, he defines mystic basically as a person whose heart is open to life's gifts, to music and art, to loving relationships, connection with nature and/or the divine spirit behind all things, anything that puts us in touch with life's beauty and blessings. To these, the mystic in us responds with unprompted awe and gratitude, yes, yes. And by prophet, Fox means a person whose heart is just as attuned to life's afflictions and injustices and proclaims no to that which diminishes or destroys life. And Matthew Fox says we need both qualities because the mystic alone can become blind to moral wrongdoing and numb to its agonizing effects. And the prophet alone can grow sarcastic and disparaging, deaf to the transcendent music of existence that still rings despite life's heartbreaks. And I share this again because we can say that in 1967, the Summer of Love, or more accurately, love itself, wore two spiritual faces, a mystical face and a prophetic face. Among many other ways, the mystical face revealed itself in a rebirth of concern for the health of the environment, in the freedom of women to shed their brassieres, and with these, the sexual repression long imposed upon them. It showed in men ditching their gray flannel suits and gray flannel soles and instead growing long hair and singing songs about peace and love. And fueled by both Eastern spiritual teachings and practices and, yes, by psychedelic substances, all this and much more were outward expressions of an inner awakening of spirit. Because what was actually flowering through flower power was a consciousness of profound connectedness and a deeply communal ethos that culminated culturally 2 years later at the Woodstock Festival. Then there was the prophetic face, born of earlier Cold War tensions and the strife of the civil rights struggle. The intensifying American involvement in Vietnam brought out the prophetic voice in millions through massive protests against the Vietnam War. Now, I was barely there in 1967, though barely there not in the same way that some of my elders were barely there. And what I'm about to share might have actually happened in 1969 or 70, so maybe I was 10. But I remember this prophetic energy so clearly. For some reason, I was out with my dad on a Saturday afternoon in my hometown of St. Paul, probably tagging along as he picked up materials for a house project. And heading home, we encountered a huge anti-war march heading toward the state capitol. And standing at the curb, watching some of the tens of thousands of protesters pass, who should I spot but my cousin and her husband, who were students at the University of Minnesota? And without knowing why, I had an intense desire to join them. My father wasn't perfect, rest his soul, but he was an educator with a strong social conscience and an adventurous spirit. And he let me without hesitation. And that early experience of marching along thousands of concerned folks, raising their collective prophetic voices for peace and justice, lives strong in my memory. I also learned a few new words from some of the signs in the crowd. Reflecting now on my desire to participate, I believe my soul was captivated by and pulled to join the prophetic face of love on display that day. The kind of love Reverend Carter Hayward calls a conversion to humanity, a willingness to participate with others in the healing of a broken world and broken lives, and many lives on both sides of the Pacific Ocean were being broken by that war. And I didn't know it then, but my little body was standing on the side of love, which some of you know is both a song in one of our hymnals and a National Unitarian Universalist campaign for fundamental human equality. So both mystically and prophetically, the summer of love opened doors of perception and connection. It was a portal into the possible, both personally and politically. But as we know, it was too often undermined by abuse of the very drugs that helped open those doors, and by a naive escapism epitomized by the famous slogan, "Tune in, turn on, drop out." Yet try as they might, and as we see in today's affairs, many are still trying, the powers that be and their frightened followers could not then and cannot now put that great genie back in the bottle. The genie of an expanded consciousness, the conversion to humanity that exploded in the 60s and that now deserves a better fate. Because one of the central convictions of that time was there is a better way. There is a better way. And there is. And even amid great challenges today, our love can be focused and determined in helping to heal the brokenness of our world, not via the avoidance of tune in, turn on, drop out, but rather through a grounded and determined method. Tune in, learn on, and pop out. That is, cultivate consciousness, pursue knowledge, and take bold action. Tune in. Learn on, and pop out. And not just any action, action that is aligned with your life's purpose, and thus springs from and expresses the deep love in your soul. And be sure to come next Sunday when human development expert Dr. Cindy Herman will explore and help connect you to that soul purpose, and then connect that to creating an environmentally sound, socially just, spiritually fulfilling world, which to me is the 60s vision and ethos in a nutshell. Environmentally sound, socially just, spiritually fulfilling. Because as Clarissa Estes wrote in our earlier reading, one of the most calming and powerful actions you can do to intervene in a stormy world is to stand up and show your soul. Soul on deck shines like gold in dark times. The light of the soul throws sparks, can send up flares, build signal fires. Struggling souls catch light from other souls who are fully lit and willing to show it. And make no mistake, this is a time that needs soul lights. This can take a mystical face. I'll call it soul shine. That of creating love and beauty and connection. And it can take a prophetic face, perhaps expressed through what Leon Cass calls the wisdom of repugnance. I love that, the wisdom of repugnance. Because there is much to be repelled by in our current world and in the status quo. And it is wise to question it. Because as Cass says, shallow are the souls that have forgotten how to shudder. So whether through soul shine and or soul shudder, we find our place and we act. This might include resisting what is. But we not only resist, we also insist on what must be. And we persist in making it happen. Because as Estes also says, what is needed for dramatic change is an accumulation of acts. It does not take everyone on earth to bring justice and peace, but only a small determined group who will not give up during the first, second, or hundredth gale. Regarding awakened souls, there have never been more able vessels in the waters than there are right now across the world. And they are fully provisioned and able to signal one another as never before. When the summer of love lives in you, and you then live and work from the enormous love in your soul, you are a great ship. You are all great ships. And when we join together, we become an unsinkable flotilla of friendship, an armada of amor. So go home and do what Clarissa Pinkola Estes counsels. I hope you will write this on your wall. When a great ship is in harbor and moored, it is safe, there can be no doubt. But that is not what great ships are built for. Much love to you today and always. Amen and blessed be.